So we wish everyone atzlocha here, that we should be able to learn Masechet Pesachim well. Arli arbas ar bokim es hachometz li ar haner. On a doraisa level, as far as Torah law is concerned, the Torah says, two lavim, number one, lo yimotze, that siar, which is chometz, should not be found in your house, and number two, lo yiralecha, and it shall not be seen in your house. There's also a mitzvah saseh with regard to chametz, and that's called tashbisu. And the Torah says in Parshas Bo, ach b'yom arishon tashbisu siar mivatechem. The Rabbanan instituted a chiyuv to check your house in order to make sure before Pesach that you can find any chametz inside your house. And the Mishnah establishes that this obligation is to be fulfilled early Arbasar, the night going into the 14th, which is the beginning of Erev Pesach, and also to use the Or Haner, the light of a candle. The Mishnah establishes that if you have a place where you have every reason to assume that during the course of the year you don't bring chametz in there, you don't have to check that area. And now the Mishnah asks a kind of a question on itself. Bameh Amru, in what context have we established a statement that says Shtei Shuros B'Martev in a case where you have a cellar, a wine cellar, and you've got barrels and barrels of wine, one on top of the other. And we're going to see a machlokas Beis Hillel Beit Shammai, exactly how many of the different rows of wines you have to check, but both Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai agree to the fundamental point that you chayev bedika in a martef, in a cellar, a wine cellar. So the Mishnah asks a rhetorical question: how could it be that both Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai agree that we need bedika in a martef? What kind of chametz do you find in a wine cellar? That's not a kitchen or a living room, a dining room. It's not a place where you eat. And the Gemara answers: b'makom shemachnisim bo chametz. What it means is that there's somebody called a shamash. He's the servant, he's the butler, you know, he's in charge of making sure that there's enough wine on the table. And in the middle of the meal, if there's a scarcity of wine, it's his job to go down to the wine cellar and replenish the supply of wine. In the meantime, he's holding on to his pas, because it's in the middle of a meal. And he may inadvertently forget the pas in the wine cellar. So a wine cellar is a place where a shamash who's serving during the course of the meal might actually bring in chametz. And exactly how much of this wine cellar do we have to check? I mean, after all, there are rows and rows, and generally speaking, we can assume that the shamash will only take from the front rows. So Beit Shammai omim shtei shiros al pnei kol amartev. Beit Shammai requires that we look at the first two rows, or perhaps the one row going vertical and then the row on top, which goes horizontal, because the shamash will climb up on a ladder to get from the first barrel, the top barrel. And Beis Hillel Omer, they are more makel, they are more lenient, and they say, Shtei Shuros Achitzonos Shehen El Yonos. All you have to check are the outer rows on the top level. You don't have to check the entire row or the second row behind it, up and down vertically from floor to ceiling. All you have to do is the top rows, because that's where the shamash takes the wine from, and that's where he might have left some chametz. The Gemara later on in Daf Ches is going to go into great detail about the machlokas between Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai. Now the Gemara presents the following machlokas. My R. What does the word R mean? We assumed, and that's how we interpreted the Mishnah, because that's what we're familiar with, like Rabbi Yehuda, as we'll soon see, that R means Laila, it means the night of the 14th. But Rav Huna Amar, he has a different take on it. Nage means Noga, or R, and he's referring to daylight. And according to Rav Huna, the obligation of Bedika is during the day. Now, you and I might ask a couple of questions on this. I mean, why check for chametz during the day? After all, the Mishnah establishes that the precondition is that you use the Or Haner. It would seem that using a candle during the day would be inappropriate, it doesn't really add anything. The Gemara often has a phrase called Shraga Betira Mai Mahani. What does a candle do for you during the day? So these are some of the issues that hopefully we'll be able to address later on. But Rav Yehuda Amar Lele. Rav Yehuda interprets the Mishnah in a way that's familiar to us, and that is that Or means Lila. Now, if Or means Lila, then we have here what's called Lashon Sagi Nahar. Sagi Nahar is what we call in English a euphemism. So the word Or means light, but we don't want to call nighttime darkness because that sounds bleak and despairing, so we use the euphemism and we call it light. But the word Or, according to Rav Yehuda, is to be interpreted as Lila. Kasalka Daita, the Gemara says that for the next blot Gemara, we're going to assume that Mandi Omar Nagi, according to Rav Huna, who says that Or is translated as day, Nagi Mamish. Let's take him literally. It means with daybreak, we're obligated on the 14th of Nisan to check the house for Chametz. So my Domer Lele, Lele Mamish. It means with the Seis HaKochavim of Yud Gimel B'Nisan, going into Yud Dalet at night, that's when we have to be Bodek Chametz. And now what's going to ensue is a long list of questions and objections, some of which will be directed at Rav Huna, who says that Or means day, and some at Rav Yehuda, who maintains that Or means Lila. So we're going to see a whole bunch of meisveis, a whole bunch of objections. Sometimes we're attacking Rav Huna, sometimes we're attacking Rav Yehuda. And it goes back and forth like a ping pong, like a yo-yo. Meisvei, the first question is going to be from the case of Yaakov Avinu. And the Pasuk is going to describe when Yaakov Avinu and his sons went down to Mitzrayim to see Yosef for the first time. And they found out that Yosef was none other than the viceroy of Egypt. So when did they leave on the trip? It says, HaBoker Or V'Anoshim Shulchu. The brothers of Yosef had come down to Mitzrayim, and at some point Yosef revealed himself and identified himself. And then he sends them back to Eretz Canaan to take Jacob, Father Jacob. When did the brothers leave Mitzrayim on their way back to Eretz Canaan to Yaakov? It says, HaBoker Or. Now, we can read it as HaBoker Kama Or Kama, which means that Or is in a positive phrase, and it means the same as Boker. V'anoshim Shulchu. They weren't sent back to Canaan in the evening, they were sent back to Canaan in the morning, and that's called Or. So we see clearly that the word Or refers to daylight. Alma, we derive from this that Or Yamamahu, which would support the Shita of Rav Huna, but it's a Kasha on Rav Yehuda. So the Gemara answers, wait a minute, let's be very careful about the sequence of these two words, Boker Or. Miksiv ha'or boker. If it would have said the or which is boker, then we would have assumed, rightfully so, that or is in another phrase for boker. But instead it says ha'boker or ksiv. Now if it says ha'boker or, then it's more logical that ha'boker is the noun and or is a verb. Now how could the word or, which means light, be a verb? And the Gemara says, Keman diomar et safra nahar, which means, HaBoker he'ir, that the morning gave its light. He'ir is a verb, or is the noun, and the word or here is to be translated as, it gave its light. And the significance of this is that they waited for the Boker to give its light. You could have daybreak and it's still relatively dark outside. That's not the time to hit the road and take your travels, but wait until HaBoker Heir, till the light of the morning will shine. So there's sufficient light, that's called Zrichas HaChama, and that's after sunrise. There are many parts before sunrise, which are perhaps Boker, technically, but they're not Heir, it doesn't have light. Ukir Rav Yehuda Marav, this is the basis for the principle of Rav. Diom Rav Yehuda Marav, the Olam Yikonis Adam Bechitov, Vyetze Bechitov. In the story of creation in Genesis Perek Aleph, the Torah says that Vayar Elokim es ha'or ki tov, that after God created light, he declared that it's ki tov. And Rav is telling us that when a person comes in from the trip, let's say, for example, he finds himself at an inn or at a hotel, he should be checking in when it's daylight, and that's called ki tov. And when the sun is shining, then he should go out on his trip, yetze b'ki tov, also when it's daylight. Now, why is it so important to travel during daylight? And you could give two answers, and I think they're both correct. One is that sometimes in the darkness you can trip and fall. Also, back in the day, you can imagine they didn't have paved roads like we have today, so therefore you might fall into a pothole. This could be very dangerous. I remember one night I was in Aza, you know, with my chayalim when I was a Rebbe in Shalavim, and I remember that I went out to use the facilities. They didn't really have facilities out there, but I fell into a hole. And that's dangerous, so you need light for that. And secondly, there are all sorts of animals and attackers, and they really endanger your life during the nighttime. You know, during the day, most of them are too afraid to attack a human being. But at night, it's very, very dangerous. So Rav wants to tell us, it's so interesting how the halacha addresses every aspect of human life, even that which you would say is so natural and simple, and it's physical, material. It's not something, you know, that's a gzeiras hakosav, you know, God gave us an opportunity to fulfill his will. But no, we have to be very careful. And there are laws that the halacha formulates, even with regard to things like travel, when you should travel. Now we have a second proof against Rav Yehuda, that R means yom. Meisve, we have a pasuk in Shmuel Beis. This is David's nevuah. And he says, Ukear boker yizrach shemesh. What that means is that the tzaddikim will exit from the darkness of this world and enter into the light of the next world. And in the next world, yizrach lehem hashemesh, very often in this world, unfortunately, even the tzaddikim face adversity and it's dark and it's bleak. But in the next world, it's going to be yizrach shemesh. There'll be a very powerful light coming from the sun. This is all a metaphor for the power of reward and the rewards of the next world. But in any event, the pasuk says ke'or boker, which means that R is boker, alma or yumamahu, it's daytime. And this would support Rav Huna against Rav Yehuda. So Gemara rejects this. Miksiv R boker, if not for the chaf hadimyon, if it would have said R boker, it would mean R which is boker, but it says ke R boker. And what is the significance of ke R? Hachikamah, this is what David HaMelech is proclaiming. Ukear boker, just like there'll be R, as there always is, with the day, and that's here in Olam Hazeh. So we have in this world a light, which is a physical, material light of the sun during the day. Is ke'ein zrichas Hashemesh l'tzadikim li'olam haba, that light of day, which we see, physical light in this world, is a metaphor, so to speak. It's a little bit of an image or a vision of what will be when the tzaddikim and Olam HaBo will have Zrichas HaShemesh. They'll have the absolute profound light of the sun. Everything will become clear. There'll be absolute clarity and clarity of vision, and there'll be reward for the tzaddikim. That's David's prophecy for the future for the tzaddikim. Meisve, another kasha against Rav Yehuda. Vayikra l'kim li'ar yom. I mean, this is a pretty explicit pasuk. The Torah testifies that God called Ar yom. Alma Ar yumamahu. This would support Rav Huna that the word Ar means yom. Hachikam, and Gemara rejects this. La meir uba kra'o yom. The word R is not a reference to the light, but rather to the luminary that gives light. And God called this luminary the sun, and sort of summoned the sun and gave it a task that it should function during the hours of the day. And that's called Meir Uba. Now, when you say Meir Uba, it has an additional connotation, and it means at the beginning of the light. Already when light breaks through and the sun's rays break through the darkness, that's already considered Yom. So the Gemara says, Elameata, if you want to be consistent about it, let's read the end of the pasuk. It says, V'lachoshech kara laila. So if the pasuk of Ayikra l'kim la'or yom means la meir uba, which means the beginning of lightness, and the light keeps coming, and it gets more intense with the passage of time, then V'lachoshech kara laila, to be consistent about it, should be Amachshech uba kara laila, that there's some luminary that generates darkness, and it gets more and more dark. Now, that can't be possible. Why? Because darkness means what's called Seisa Kochava, when the stars come out. Hakaimel and Dad Seisa Kochava Yamamahu. Until Tseis, it's still considered day. So immediately with Choshech and the beginning of Laila, we have absolute darkness. We have already Tseis HaKochavim. There's no machshech uba over here. There's no process by which the darkness intensifies with the passage of time. So therefore the Gemara says, you're not really being consistent here if you assume that when it says Vayikra l'kim la'or yom, it means l'meir uba. So the Gemara answers that when it says the word Vayikra in the pasuk Vayikra l'kim la'or yom, this is what the pasuk means. The word Vayikra doesn't mean he gave it a name, but rather Vayikra has another meaning, and that is he summoned Linahora. Nahora is a reference to that creation which gives light, meaning the sun. Ufakte, and he commanded him, Amitzvasa, his mandate is the Yamama. In other words, he has to serve the world, the globe, during the day. And then when it says V'achosha kara laila, again kara means he called in, Kari rachmona l'chashocha ufakte amitzvasa delela. God summoned darkness and commanded darkness to serve during the hours of the night. So just like a king will summon his servants and give them a mandate, so too Hashem gives a mandate to the sun, and also to the darkness. The Vilna Gaon derives from this Gemara that darkness is an entity. It was a creation. God created darkness. Meisve, now the Gemara switches over to the other side and raises an objection to Rav Huna to try to support Rav Yehuda that indeed the word Ar means Laila. The Pasuk says in Tehillim, Hallelu kol kochve Ar. The stars of the night will sing the praises of God. And now we see that the word Ar is referring to the stars at night. Alma Ar Urtahu. We support Rabbi Yehuda's contention that Ar means Laila. Gemara says, no, we're going to reject this proof. Hachikamar. This is what the Pasuk has in mind. Hallelu kol kochavim hame'irim. Again, we're going to take the word Ar as a noun, and we're going to transform it to a verb, and we're talking about stars that give light. The Gemara says, Elamiyato, are you telling me that David HaMelech is saying that there are certain stars that praise the Almighty? Those are the stars that give light. There are other stars that don't give off light. They're very dull, and they do not praise God. Elamiyato, kochav ha-me'irim, only those stars that give light. Who debosh vuche? They will give praise to God on a regular basis. But she'ena meirim lo boish shibuche. Are you implying, therefore, let's infer from this pasuk that those dull stars do not praise God? But what about another pasuk, Haksiv? In that very same chapter, David HaMelech claims, Halu kol tzvakov, all the celestial spheres, all the stars in the heavens will praise God and sing hallelujah. Even those stars that don't give light. So if that be the case, it's impossible to say that when the Pasuk says, Hallelu, kol kochve ar, it's referring specifically and exclusively to those stars that give light. So therefore, we're going to have to assume that based on the Pasuk Halu Kol Tzvav, that the Pasuk is not coming to exclude those stars that don't give light. Elohaka Mashmala, what the Pasuk wants to transmit to us is the following, the Ar de Kochavim Nami Arhu. The Pasuk wants to say that all the stars give some minimum amount of light, and the light of the stars is called a light. So again, the word Ar here does not refer to Lila, to support Rabbi Yud against Rav Huna, but rather the word Ar means light. And the Pasuk is trying to tell us that the light of the stars is also called light. I mean, who cares? What difference it make? L'maynaf gemina, l'noder mina or, a person takes upon himself what's called nidre isur, a vow, and he says, I will not benefit from or, from light. I'm going to sleep and live and breathe in the darkness. Is Tanya, we have a braisa that says, I know there mina or, if a person enjoins himself from having any benefit from light, Asur bi oran shel kochavim, he's not allowed to even enjoy the light that comes from the stars. Meisve, another question against Rabbi Yehuda, who interprets or as referring to Lila. Meisve, the Pasuk says in Eov, Laor yakum rotzeach, yiktol ani vievyon, ubalaila yekiganov. In the morning, the rotzeach, the murderer, will rise up, so to speak. It means he'll be activated, and he's going to destroy the lives of the underprivileged, the destitute, the poor people. And he'll accost them with a gun, so to speak, and say, your money or your life. And at night, Ubalaila Yekaganov, at night he'll sneak in stealthily into the house, like a burglar does at night. So during the day, he'll look for the weak people, and he'll try to take from them whatever he can, and if need be, he'll murder them. In any event, you see la'ar, that the word ar means during the day, because the end of the pasuk says balayla yekagana. So he's a rotzeach by day, which is called ar, and he's a ganav by night. And here we turn to daf beis amid beis. Hamidika amar balayla yekaganav. Since the end of the pasuk says that at night he's a burglar, alma, we see that the first part of the pasuk, the reish of the pasuk, is ar yamamahu, that during the day is liar yakum rotzeach, he's a murderer. So we see that the word R refers to day, and that's a clear-cut proof and support for Rav Huna against Rav Yehuda, who says that R is Lila. The Gemara rejects this. Hasam, there the meaning of the word R is not Yom, but rather we're talking about a burglar. The entire pasuk is talking about a burglar. And now the question is, what happens when a burglar is caught in someone's house? The Balabais is up in his bedroom, and he comes down, there's a burglar, and he confronts the burglar. Is he allowed to kill the burglar? So this pasuk is addressing that very life and death issue. If it's absolutely clear to you, like the light of the day, that he's an armed burglar, he's a robber who's willing, if you stand up against him, to knock your block off, he's going to kill you. Once that's clear to you, Rotzeachu, he's already considered a murderer. V'nitan latzilo b'nafsho, and you're allowed to kill him. You can take the initiative. Don't wait for him to shoot the gun. Just kill him. Why? Because it's our Rotzeach. Our Rotzeach means it's clear as daylight that he's coming to kill you. He's an armed robber. And that clarity allows you to kill him. And the word R now is a metaphoric word that's meant to convey the message of clarity. But if, on the other hand, you have doubts whether he's going to kill you, then don't assume that he's coming to kill you. Treat him, relate him as if he was a thief. He's just coming for monetary purposes. He's not coming to kill you. v'lo nitan latzil v'nafsho, and you're not allowed to kill. And the upshot of this Gemara, which has tremendous ramifications for Masechta Sanhedrin, is that you don't consider above a machteres ein lo domim, the pasuk says, meaning you're allowed to kill him, unless it's got to be clear. Rashi, in a sense, reinterprets this Gemara. And you'll see this in a very long Rashi, Dibre Maskel Hachi Ka'amar, which is four lines down from the top of the Amud. And Rashi says that the case in which you have a suffix, where he's coming to kill you, is the following. He says, there's a difference between a father and a son, and a son and the father. He says, Rashi says that anyone who breaks into your house, any burglar whatsoever, called Adam, is assumed to fit into this categorization of Barlacha Pshitalcha Milsa Kinahara Dinafashiskoi. Chutz. There's only one exceptional case of Alaben. If a father is so desperate that he has to break into his own son's house in order to steal his son's money, then the father is not going to kill his son. That's for sure not. And that's when, according to Rashi, we don't apply the principle of kill the Bava Machteris, meaning Ein Lo Dom. Meisve, now we have another question, Rabbi Yehuda, another proof that Or means Yom, from a pasuk in Eov, Yechshechu Kochvei Nishpo. And the word Nishpo refers to Lila. And Yechshechu means let the stars of the night darken, and yikav li'or v'ayin, let them wait for light, meaning the light of day, and it won't come. V'al yira b'afafei shochar, and I myself, my eyes will never see light, meaning I'll not wake up. This is Eov, who's actually cursing himself. He has gone through such excruciating tragedy that he curses the night, and he says that the stars at night should become dark and dim. Let them wait for the light of the day, but they will never, my eyes will never see the light of day. But Mida Ka'amar Yikav Li'or V'ayin, they will wait and anticipate the light of Or. Alma, we see that Or Yumamahu, because he's talking about Kochave Nishpo, which is the Kochavim at night, and they are waiting for Or, they are waiting for daylight. So the Gemara answers, Hasam, no. You cannot derive from that pasuk in Eov that the word Or means Yom. Melit Hudaka Layit Le'Yov Lamazle. Eov is cursing, the word Melit or Layit is cursing. He's cursing his own mazel, his own bad luck. And Omar, and he declares, Yehei Rava, let it be his will, Dilitzape, they will anticipate, they will long for Hach Gavra, he's talking about himself in third person, that Linahora for light, Velo Lishkeche, and he will never experience light. That's the curse that Eov gives to himself. But the word Or here does not refer to Yamama, it refers to light that will counterbalance and neutralize the darkness and the bleakness of his catastrophic life. Meisve, another proof that the word Or means day, against Rabbi Yehuda, another pasuk in Tehillim. Ve'omar ach choshech yishufeni, ve'laila Or ba'adeni. David says that at the beginning, I thought that my whole life would be as dark as that night. The darkness he's referring to is the darkness of sin. And David HaMelech was involved in a sin, and he talks about the darkness of sin. But if you take a look, it says, V'layla Or Ba'adeni. At the end, the Laila itself was transformed to day, because God forgave David's sin. And after he got Mechila for his sin, then the darkness of night now became daylight. Alma, we see Or Yamamahu. David uses the word Or, and he means daylight, against Rabbi Yehuda. Hossam says in Gemara, I'm going to reject this proof as well. Hachikom or David. This is what David had in mind. Ani amarti at the beginning, after I sinned with Bathsheba, I declared Achoshech Yishufeni. It means that I will be completely surrounded by darkness even in the world to come, which is similar to day. The world to come is supposed to be light, as we discussed earlier. But Achshav, now that Hashem was mochel me for my sin, ha'olam hazeh shudome lelaila or ba'adeni. It means even this world, which is the world of darkness, and the person is thrown into the state of afela, of darkness, or ba'adeni, there'll be a light for me, even during this dark period of olam hazeh. And how much more so will I have light in olam haba, because God has guaranteed that He's forgiven my sin. So the word or doesn't mean yom. Once again, it means light. Meisvei, now the Gemara goes the other way around. Like I told you, it's like a ping pong. And ask the Kashan Rav Huna to prove that the word or means laila. And this is from the Mishnah later on. Rav Yehuda Omer, bodkim or liarbasar. Now, Rav Yehuda, the Mishnah later on in Daf Yud, addresses the issue. What happens if a person was not able, or for whatever reason, he didn't check his house at the night of the 14th? Does he have a fallback position? And the answer is, bodkim biarbasar shachas. He could be bodek in the morning of the 14th. So he missed up on night. Now, if in the worst case scenario, even during the morning hours of the 14th, he failed to implement his bedika, then b'shas habir. Then when we get to noontime, which is the time for destroying the chametz, he should do his bedika right there. Bedika has to be attached to something, whether it's night, whether it's morning, or shas habir. Midakom Rabbi Yehuda Bodkim Orli Arbasar Arbasar Shachris, from the fact that he says that you make the Bedika Orli Arbasar, and in the worst case scenario you didn't do it, then you'll be Bodek Arbasar Shachris. Alma, we see clearly that Or Urtahu, that the word Or is referring to the night of the 14th. Shmamina. And the Gemara concludes here that this is an absolute foolproof hochacha that the Mishnah, he uses the word or to refer to Laila, which means it's a euphemism. Meisvei, the Gemara wants to add another question against Rav Huna. It's sort of like to knock the nails in the coffin. And we have a Mishnah later on about Mokom Shenagu. Now, as far as Erev Pesach is concerned, there's no biblical Iser Malach, but the Mishnah codifies that there was a minog, a very strong minog, not to do malacha on the 14th of Nisan. And on that Mishnah, the Braisa presents a machlokas tanoim. Our boss are osur be'asiyas malacha. We know that there's a minhag not to do malacha on the 14th of Nisan, but when is the kickoff of that Isur malacha? Rabbi Eliezer and Yaakov Omer Mishas Ha'or, from the time of Or. Now, since, as I told you, this is going to be a kasha against Rav Huna and a proof for Rav Yehuda, then we get the cat is out of the bag, and the word Or means night. So already on the night of the 14th of Nisan, according to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, we should be abstaining from Moloch. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mishas HaNeitzachama, let's wait until sunrise on the 14th. Amalei Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, in the Braisa is recorded a dialogue back and forth, and Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says to Rabbi Yehuda, V'chi hecha metzinu yom she mitzoso osur vasiyas malachu mitzoso mutar vasiyas malachu. Meaning, that when the Rabbanon, or in this case the Minog, creates an Iser malach, it should be patterned after the Torah law. With regard to the Torah law, the day starts at night, and it's a 24-hour full day, a unit that cannot be divided into segments. How can you possibly establish a minhag of an Isur Malacha that begins by day? That makes no sense. And again, we're beginning to see how this is going to be a proof for Rav Yehuda that R means Lila, because Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov was the one who said Mishas Ha'or. And if he's arguing against Rabbi Yehuda that we never see that we split a day, half of which is Mutar Malacha and the other half is Asur Malacha, it's all or nothing. It must mean that he established the minhag, this custom of Isa Malacha on Yudalid, starting with nighttime. So R clearly means nighttime. But let's see how Rabbi Yehuda tries to defend himself. Do we have a precedent to split the day into two parts? Part is Mutar and part is Asur. Hu atzmo yochiach, says Rabbi Yehuda, why don't you prove it from the 14th of Nisan itself? Shemiktsasu mutar b'achilas chametz, miktsasu asur b'achilas chametz. The halacha is that chametz is also an erev Pesach on the 14th of Nisan from chatzos, from midday and on. The Gemara is going to spend a lot of time trying to derive that conclusion from the pasuk ach b'yom harishon tashbisu. Yom harishon is reference to the 14th of Nisan, and ach is the middle of the day. So we have already a biblical precedent for splitting the day into two. Half the day is mutar, half the day is asur. You're allowed to eat chametz on the night of the 14th, even on the morning of the 14th. But with chatzos, with noon on the 14th, you become enjoined from eating chametz. So we see that the Torah itself splits up the day into its parts. Midakom Rabbi Yehuda Mishas HaNeitzachama, from the fact that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov was arguing against Rabbi Yehuda, who said that the Isur Malacha begins with sunrise, Alma Ar Dikama Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Urtahu. It's clear that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, who wanted to have the entire day included in the Isur Malacha, he meant by Ar the night of the 14th. And that's the kickoff of the Isur Malacha. So we see that Ar means Lila. Gemara rejects this proof. Lo. My R, what did Rabbi Eliezer mean when he said R? Amud HaShachar. The day itself is divided into parts, and the beginning of the day is Amud HaShachar. HaNeitzachama might be relevant for other halachas. For example, Mirabonan, sometimes we want to wait till HaNeitz because we're not exactly sure whether it is after Amud HaShachar, it's not after Amud HaShachar. Or, for example, we find that Netzacham is critical for the mitzvah vasikin to be somekul tefillah. There are dinim and kiyumim that require hanetz, but as a general rule, the day starts with Amud HaShachar. So what Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov was arguing against Rabbi Yehuda is that you cannot split the day itself, meaning the 12 hours of day. If there's going to be an Isa Malacha by day, then it's got to begin with Amud HaShachar, because that's when halachic day begins. So now the word or doesn't refer to Lila, but rather to day. Gemara says that can't be right. Ihachi, if you tell me that even Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov agrees that only the day of the 14th is Asur B'Malacha, so what exactly was his argument against Rabbi Yehuda, which is recorded here in the Braisa, the Kamar Lei? He asks Rabbi Yehuda, Heicha Metzini Yom Shemiktsasa Mutu Basiyas Malacha Miktsasa Asa Basiyas Malacha. Where do you find a day that's half Asa Malacha and half Mutu Malacha? Neima Iu L'Nafshe. Why doesn't he ask that question deflected on himself? Because the nighttime, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, is Mutu Malacha. It's only the daytime with Amud HaShachar. Ha'ika Laila de Kashari Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. So the Gemara says, that's not a problem. Hachi Kama. This is what Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov was arguing against Rabbi Yehuda. Bishlev L'DD, according to my understanding, that with day, and with the emergence of day, which is Amud HaShachar, we are enjoined from Malacha by virtue of this minug, Ashkeche, to Kaplig, Palgei Rabbanan ben Yimama Lil Laila. There is a precedent for taking a 24-hour period, which is a unit of a day, and splitting it into two parts, Laila and Yom. Laila will be Mutar, and Yom will be Asur. And that's exactly what we're going to do, says Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, in our case of Isa Malacha. We're going to say that the Yom is Asur, even though the Laila beforehand is Mutar. Where is this precedent that the Rabbanan took a unit of a day of 24 hours and split it into two? allowing, permitting the night and prohibiting the day, this is the halacha of Tainis Tzibur. This Sanya, we learned in the Brisa Gabi Tainis Tzibur, Admosai Ochel Vishoseh, if he wants to eat and drink into the night of the Tainis. At what point is the cutoff point, and he now has to enjoin himself from eating and drink, he has to fast? Acheyala Murashachar, Divrei Rabbi Elias Ben Yaakov. So he's allowed to eat and drink the entire night, but with Amura Shachar, and the day begins, not only does the day emerge, but the Iser Tainis emerges. Rabbi Shimon Omer, according to Rabbi Shimon, Ad Krus HaGever, until the Tarnagoles, lets out its first cockle-doodle-doo. But in any event, we see clearly that everybody agrees that with regard to the Iser Achil and Shsi on a Yom HaTainis, the night is excluded and the day is the emergence of the Mitzvah of Tainis and the Iser Achila. So if that be the case, says Rabbi Elias ben Yaakov, I'm in safety zone. I have a clear-cut precedent for assuming that the Iser Melach on Erev Pesach is split between the night and the day. The night is mutter going into the day. The day is aser, and that's exactly what happens with regard to Achil and Shsi on a Tainis. El l'didach, but according to you, Rabbi Yehuda, Heichash kachani yomam gufei de pal gemei rabbanon. Now you're taking the yom, which begins with Amura Shachar, and you're splitting the yom into two parts. And the segment from daybreak, which is Amura Shachar, up until Anetz, until the sun rises, is Mutar Bimalacha. And then we start after Anetz Achama with the balance of the day, and that's when the Isa Malacha sets in. Do you have any precedent that we could take part of a day and say it's mutter, and part of a day and say it's also? Where's the precedent for that? Amalei, to that, Rabbi Yehuda responds, Hu atzmo yochiach. I'm going to prove to you that the 12 hours of day can be split, half of which, or part of which, is mutter, and half part of which is also. And I'll prove it from Yudali Benis on the very day that we're debating about the Isa Malacha. Shemektosu mutter b'achilas chametz. The Iser Achilas Chametz on Erev Pesach only begins with Chatzos Hayom, midday. And Shapik, right, so now we have a precedent for taking the 12 hours of day and splitting it into two. Now, what we can anticipate, again, without reading the next line of the Gemara, is that Rabbi Lezman Yaakov is going to say, well, that's different. The fact that we take the 12 hours of day and split it into two halves, for the Iser Chametz on Erev Pesach, that's acceptable. But that the Rabbanan are going to tell you, based on this minog, that you can't do melacha starting with Anetz Achama, but you're allowed to engage in melacha with Amura Shachar, why would they say such a thing? So Shapir Ka'amalei, Rabbi Yehuda l'Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yehuda l'Chora has the upper hand over here, has a clear-cut proof that indeed we take a day, a 12-hour period of day, and we split it into two with regard to the Iser Achilas Chametz. So now we have to understand what was Rabbi Eliezer arguing against Rabbi Yehuda. Why did he reject Rabbi Yehuda? Achi kamalei, Rabbi Eliezer. This is what Rabbi Eliezer meant to say. Amina l'cha no melacha d'rabbanon v'at amrit li chametz d'oraisa. What proof do you have from chametz, which is a d'oraisa? The Torah decides when the Iser Chametz should begin. Ad hocha asa rachmana, the ad hocha shay rachmana. Up until chatzos hayom, midday, the Torah says it's mutter, and you're allowed to eat chametz. And from chatzos and on, the Torah says it's an iser chametz. That's already a doraisa. That's already a gzeiras hakosuv. We don't know exactly how the melech malchei amlochim decides when the iser chametz should emerge. But with regard to the rabbanon, what logic would compel the Rabbanan to take the day itself and split it into parts and tell me that from Amud HaShachar until Anetz I'm allowed to do Malacha, and from Anetz and on I'm not allowed to do Malacha? V'idach. Now, Rabbi Yehuda, the ball is in your court. Do you find somewhere in the constellation of Isuri de Rabbanan that we take the day itself and split it into parts? And the answer is yes. B'shos de Rabbanan. With regard to Chametz, the Chachamim took a segment of the day that was Mutar Bachilas Chametz, and they prohibited you from having Chametz. And those are the last 2 hours of the morning, which is called Sha'ah Chamishis and Sha'ah Shishis. Let's say on a perfect day, already at 10 a.m., they prohibited you from Chametz. That's Sha'ah Chamishis, from 10 to 11, and then from 11 to 12, Sha'ah Shishis. All that was prohibited midrabbanon, and you see that the rabbanon are attaching an Iser to a part of a day. As if to say that every segment of I can break down the day into many, many different parts, and the rabbanon may decide that this segment, this piece of time is awesome, this piece of time is mutter, and Rabbi Yehuda thinks that's exactly what they did with regard to Nisa Malacha. They said that slice of time between Amud HaShachar and Hanetz is mutter, and the next period of time, starting with Hanetz, generates an Iser. Now, it's interesting that Rav Yehuda is not really answering the logical question, why would they leave out, why would the Rabbanan omit that slice of time from Amud HaShachar until Hanetz from the Iser Malacha? That question he's sideswiping. Ve'idach, and why is Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov unimpressed with Shos the Rabbanan, with the fifth and sixth hours on Erev Pesach, which the Rabbanan prohibited you from Achilas Chametz? Harchaku diavad Rabbanan l'doraisa. That makes absolute sense. The Gemara is going to tell us later on they didn't have clocks in those days, so they looked at the sun, and they had sundials and so forth and so on. And there was always a measure of mistake, of common error, and that would be up to 2 hours. They could even confuse 10 o'clock for 12 o'clock. And therefore, the Rabbanan made our chukka, let's not allow you to wait until 12 noon and continue eating chametz. We're going to add an hour or 2 hours. And that makes sense. But when you're talking about an Iser Malacha on Erev Pesach, which is an entity that's the Rabbanan, the Torah never prohibited Malacha on Erev Pesach. So if the Rabbanan are now etching out something brand new, they are creating an Iser Malach ex nihilo, then they should use the entire day, as Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov himself insists, from Amud HaShachar. But why postpone and why delay the Iser Malach until Hanetz HaChamor? Now, in terms of the logic of Rabbi Yehuda, and the Mefarshim go to town on this, I could just suggest on a superficial level that Rabbi Yehuda feels that we're talking not about halachic day, but we're talking about the work day. And generally speaking, although there are exceptional people who get up at Amud HaShachar and they go to work, most people wait until sunrise, when it's really getting light out, that's when they go out to work. And in fact, we saw before, it's not derech eretz to hit the road when it's still dark out, it's dangerous. And therefore, when the Chachamim, based on this minog, formulated an Iser Malacha, it was an Iser Malacha of a Malacha day, of a work day. And a work day starts with Hanetz HaChamor. On the other hand, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov argues that this Iser has to fit into a pattern. And the pattern is established as Yom versus Laila. And Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov himself understands that, for example, the case of Tainis, that's exactly what the Rabbanan did. They said that Yom is Mutabi Achilu Shasiyah, but, I'm sorry, that Laila is Mutab Achilu Shasiyah and Yom is also Achilu Shasiyah. So they made that split. But the Yom itself begins with Amud HaShachar. So we are bound and we have to fit into pre-established halachic boundaries of what is considered Yom, what is Laila, what is Zman? To say that now we're going to take up a psychological definition of Yom, that people don't go out to work until Hanetz, that's something that Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov finds objection. Meisvei, the Gemara is still plugging against Rav Huna. And we have a Braisa that there was, in the old days, they were Mekadesh Lechodesh, not the way we do based on the calendar, but based on Re'iyas HaLevana. And how did they spread the word that the witnesses have already testified in Beis Din that they saw the new moon on the 30th day, which means that the 30th day now becomes Rosh Chodesh, and the previous month is a Chaser, it's a month of 29 days. How do we spread the word? And The answer is called Masi and Masos. What they did was they climbed up some high precipices, you know, hills or mountains, and they lit a torch, and from one mountain to the other, that's how they conveyed the message to the people that were distant from Yerushalayim, that there was Eidus and a declaration that today is Rosh Chodesh. Now, all this was fine and dandy until the Kusim came along. They started fooling the people and they started lighting fires in order to mislead the people. Now, the Mishnah tells us, oh, actually, it's a Braisa. Ein Masi and Masos el Chodesh Shenira Bizmano Lekacho. In other words, if the Eidim come on day 31, which means the previous month was a mole of 30 days, then we don't need Masi and Masos, because in the absence of any evidence to the contrary, the premise is that the month that just passed was mole, and that the first of the new month is day 31. So in that case, we don't need Masos. It's not necessary. But the Amasai Masi and Masos, but in a case where the Eidim came on day 30 and testified that they saw the moon, such that the previous month is a chaser, when should we start this whole process of Masi and Masos? And it says Li'ar Iburo, which means already the night following day 30, in other words, when they saw the Masos, they understood that the previous day was already day 30 and was declared to be Rosh Chodesh. But look at the language of the Braisa. When the Braisa wants to convey nighttime, because we don't do Masu Masos during the day, as I said to you before, you know, candles and fire, that's irrelevant during the day, is Alma or Urta. The Braisa used the word or to refer to nighttime. Shmami, no, we see that Rabbi Yud is absolutely correct. Meisve. Now the Gemara raises an objection to Rabbi Yehud, who holds that Or is Laila. The Braisa says, if a Kohen Hoya Ome Kola Laila Makrevala Mizbeach. Now, in order for Kohen to do Avoda, he needs what's called Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim. He has to go to the Kiyor, where the Kiyor was where the holy waters were, and to Klisharis, and there he was Makadesh Yadayim V'Raglayim. Now, what happens if the Kohen did an all-night mishmar, and he was makriv on the mizbeach, because at night we take the imurim and the evarim of the ola, and we burn them at night. In other words, the four avodos have to be during the day. But the aktaras ha'imurim of, for example, a korban ola, or a imurim of any korban, can be burnt at night. So the Kohen was busy burning a imurim, there was a large volume of a imurim through the night. Is Li'ora, with daybreak, Ton Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim. And that means that the nighttime is called Lina. Lina means whatever you did until that point, before night, is no longer connected to the next day. So Lila comes and wedges between the Avoda of yesterday and the Avoda of the new day. The new day in Migdash starts with day, but look at the way the Braisa uses what terminology is used to refer to day. And the answer is, it used the word R. So we see that R is day against Rabbi Yehuda. Divrei Rebbe. And all this is the opinion of Rebbe. Of course, Rabbi Elezer Reb Shimon there argues in Masechta Zvachim, and he holds you don't need Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim because there was no Hesech Hadas. He never went to sleep. He never got distracted. He was continuing his avoda non-stop through the night. He doesn't need Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim. That's the Shita of Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon. But Rebbe holds that with daybreak he needs, in order to continue the Avoda, a new Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim. And the Gemara answers, Ora Shiny. Even Rabbi Yud agrees that the word, although the word Or means nighttime, but if you add a Hey at the end of the word, Ora, then it means daytime. So that's the daf for today. Tomorrow we'll start with Meisvei. The only thing I would like, if you have 5 minutes, is to add the Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos here at the very beginning of Masechta Pesachim. And that's the Tosfos Divrei Maskil Or. Rashi says that bedikas chametz is a way in which we avoid the violations of Bal Yirah by Yimotzi, to guarantee that we don't own chametz in our possession. And the Ri, one of the Bali Atosis, objects to Rashi based on a Gemara later on. The Gemara says that Habodik Tzarch Sheyivatel, which means that the Torah is going to require bittel. Bittel means I make an annulment and I announce that all the chametz is considered in my eyes to be nothing. So if that be the case, since the Gemara establishes that even if I do a bedik, I still need bittel. Well, once I've done bittel, I've covered my bases and protected myself from Bal Yirah Bayimotze. How could Rashi say, therefore, that the bedikah at the beginning of this Masechta, Bodkim es HaChametz L'Araner, is to prevent me and protect me from Bal Yirah Bayimotze? I need bittel in any event. And the Ran is going to defend Rashi here, and he's going to say, well, the Torah will allow you to do one of two things to avoid Bal Yirah Bayimotze, ownership over Chametz, either bedikah or bittel. The Rabbanan are going to require bittel in any event, but on a Doraisa level, Rashi is referring to the biblical law of Bal Yirah Bayimotze, and bedikah is a valid method of protecting you from Bal Yirah Bayimotze, because after you check your house and you don't find any chametz, you have every right to assume that there's no chametz there. So you've really adequately protected yourself from any violation of Bal Yirah Bayimotze.
Now, Tosis, the Ri, disagrees with Rashi as to the fundamental reason for bedikah. According to the Ri, even though bittel is enough and you must have bittel, so that covers you as far as Bal Yirah Bayimotze is concerned, but nevertheless, the Rabbanu were machmir and required bedikah not because of Bal Yirah Bayimotze, but Shema Yovel Yochlo, to protect you from eating the chametz. And he has a proof from a Gemara later on where Rava on Daf Yud vacillates about a Kikar B'Shmei Korah. And one of the studim in Rava is that he's have to do a bedikah and a beer on the chametz that's all the way up on the rafters because it might fall and he may come to eat the chametz. Now you may ask, says the Ri, well, there are many other Isurim and even Isuri Hanah, for example, Klai Akerim and Orla and others that don't require bedikah. Why is the chametz was singled out and requires bedikah? And here's where Tosfos comes up with a very famous principle called lo bedili minei inchi, that since during the entire course of the year you're used to eating chametz, there's more of a chashash and a fear that you might come to eat chametz on Pesach inadvertently, because that's what you do, you know, almost 360 days out of the year. And in that sense, it's not similar to other Isuri I know, like Basa B'Cholav, Orla Klai Kerem, where the Isur is an Isur Olam. The question is, what about Yayin for a Nazir? I mean, in the case of a Nazir, he drinks wine the whole year round. His whole life he's been drinking wine. Now, all of a sudden, he becomes also. He should get rid of all the wine from his house. And Tosfos offers two answers. One is that since others can enjoy the benefit of the wine, therefore, he doesn't have to get rid of the wine. And secondly, he says that we are following, the Rabbanan are following the cue of the Torah, that the Torah instituted the chumra of Bal Yirah Bayimotze, you're not allowed to own chametz, and the Rabbanu went one step further, and he said you have to be bodek and get rid of all your chametz. So once the Torah was more machmir in this particular Isur Neili chametz than in other Isurim, therefore the Rabbanu took that cue, and they were more machmir. They weren't machmir in the cases of Nazir, etc., because there the Torah wasn't machmir with the Bal Yirah Bayimotze. So we have in sum a machlokas here between Rashi and Tosfos about the nature of this requirement of bedikas chametz. Is it to protect you from Bal Yirah Bayimotze, or is it because of a chashash Shema Yovel Liochlo that he might come to eat the chametz? Now we mentioned about this statement of Rav that you should go out and come in during the daylight hours and not at night, and we gave some explanations that are based on reality and physical reality about not tripping and so forth. But Tosfos Dibro Maschli Yikones here towards the latter part of Daf Beis Amud Aleph mentions Mazikin. That's something more metaphysical. And the Nafkamina will be in a case where a person goes out Yechidi, and that's where there's a Chashash of Mazikin. But if he goes out in a group, then it seems that there's no chashash of mazikin, but there still would be a chashash of boros and other kinds of pitfalls that you might fall in during the night. So if the basis of this statement of Rav is because of boros and so forth, it would apply even if you're more than one person when there's no chashash of mazikin. Okay then, so we'll stop here, and tomorrow Mitzvah Shem will start with Meisvei Mar Zutra on the bottom of Daf, Beis Amid Beis.